Welcome to God and Country Biblical Exposition. In a meeting with the Prime Minister of Israel, President Trump shocked the entire world by saying what everyone knows to be the truth, but no one dared to say it because it opposed the false narrative being pushed by world leaders for the last 50 years. Trump said, Palestinians in Gaza need to be moved into the Islamic countries surrounding Israel, mainly Egypt and Jordan, but also Syria and Lebanon. In a press conference with Netanyahu, Trump said the following. So let's just take a couple of minutes and listen to that clip.
If not Jordan, Egypt, what other countries do you think might accept Palestinians from Gaza?
Well, I think Jordan and Egypt will. I know they've spoken about it with you, and they say they're not going to accept. I say they will. But I think other countries will accept also. I think that Gaza maybe is a demolition site right now. If you look at Gaza, it's all, I mean, there's hardly a building standing, and the ones that are going to collapse. You can't live in Gaza right now, and I think we need another location. I think it should be a location that's going to make people happy. You look over the decades, it's all death in Gaza. This has been happening for years. It's all death. If we can get a beautiful area to resettle people permanently in nice homes and where they can be happy and not be shot, not be killed, not be knifed to death like what's happening in Gaza. And right now you have in Gaza a very dangerous situation in terms of explosives all over the place, in terms of tunnels that nobody knows who's in the tunnel. The whole thing is a mess. And I think that if we can resettle, and I believe we can do it in areas where the leaders currently say no. I mean, this is a very, very difficult situation, but we're going to get it solved. I don't think people should be going back to Gaza. I think that Gaza has been very unlucky for them. They've lived like hell. They lived like you're living in hell. Gaza is not a place for people to be living. And the only reason they want to go back, and I believe this strongly, is because they have no alternative. What's the alternative? Go where? There's no other alternative. If they had an alternative, they'd much rather not go back to Gaza and live in a beautiful alternative that's safe.
So do we see what's happening here? Trump took the two-state solution off of the table. The two-state solution that politicians and the leftist elites have been pushing for the last 50 years. Any talk of resettling Palestinians in Arab lands was only voiced by a very small conservative minority community. That conversation was suppressed. If it was even mentioned, the political correct thing to do was to fake outrage and offense. But President Trump, by speaking up, has changed the whole narrative, bringing to life that which world leaders at the UN had thought they had buried for good. And now, for the first time, we're hearing from the media testimonies from Palestinians themselves that they want to leave Gaza and go to another country. Quote, open up the border for us. Let us leave this land and go to a respectable country. Get us to a decent place because Gaza is harsh. Our leaders are harsh. Even ABC had this article. Some besieged Gazans say they face no future there. They want to leave for good, unquote. Also, I cannot accept the idea of living here with my children. Now, immediately after Trump's statement, most of the major media outlets were running cover for the narrative that Palestinians actually want to stay in Gaza, that they actually want their own state in Israel. Here's a piece from the AP, which the AP is always on the far left. Quote, I won't leave. Put that in your brain. Palestinians reject Trump's call to expel him from Gaza. Well, the AP press was certainly able to find some Palestinians who were repeating the Hamas line. And here's another piece. Palestinians would definitely die here and will not leave. And this is coming from a man named Mustafa Barghouti, but he's the general secretary of the Palestinian National Initiative. He's a Palestinian politician. He doesn't even live in Gaza. And if the people of Gaza leave, he'll lose all of his power, his position, his job, his international funding. So, of course, he's going to say that the Palestinians want to stay. He's in control of one big welfare state. The Gaza Strip and the West Bank are supported by billions in international aid, which pays for a salary. His net worth is $4.7 million. Where is he going to get that kind of gig in some other Arab country if the Palestinians move to Jordan? And the leadership of Hamas is just the same. They're living large off of billions of international aid. Many of them have fled to Qatar while the war is going on. The personal net worth of the three top Hamas leaders is $11 billion. They use the Palestinian people to enrich themselves and to support their ideological cause. But regular Palestinians go poor and they want out. The only reason they're in Gaza is because Hamas within and Islamic ideologues without keep them there. You know, along with the UN, that's duped by the lies of Hamas and the Palestinian leadership. Here's an article from NBC. Hamas is losing the backing of ordinary people in Gaza who are paying the human price of its war. And it is their war. They refuse to release the hostages for almost 2 years, and they refuse to settle for peace. You know, maybe they thought this war would make Israel look bad, and it would be a windfall of more aid for Gaza. So just understand that what we're hearing in the news and from many political leaders and media commentators is not what's happening on the streets. The Palestinians in Gaza were not all offended that Trump wants them to repatriate to another country. They were actually cheering it on. And Trump was actually right. The people in Gaza, they want to leave. It's the oppression of Hamas that's keeping them there. But no leading politician was willing to speak up for them because they were following the narrative of Hamas and leftists. But Trump broke the false narrative. Trump and his plans changed the paradigm. You know, everyone was asking, you know, what now? How are we going to rebuild Gaza? Trump comes along and says, if you rebuild Gaza, the whole thing is going to happen all over again. Gaza will be rebuilt with billions of dollars of international aid. And then once it's rebuilt, they're once again going to attack Israel. Back in 2005, the Palestinians were, in effect, given their own state, the Gaza Strip. The Palestinians, they ran everything. And they voted Hamas into their political leadership. But they attacked Israel in 2008, then again in 2012. Then also in 2014 and in 2021 and in 2023. And if Gaza is rebuilt, they will attack Israel again in 2028. The Islamic ideology is not to have a two-state solution. The plan is to eliminate Israel. And that's their slogan. Palestine will be free from the river to the sea. In other words, from the Jordan to the Mediterranean. All of it allegedly belongs solely to the Arabs. And the Palestinian Arabs in Israel were actually offered their own state back in 1948 and in 1967 and in the year 2000 and in the year 2008, but they refused it each time. Bill Clinton even made this point. Check this out.
Look, I think what's happened there in the last 25 years is one of the great tragedies of the 21st century. And when I tell the young people, for example, who are understandably in America, they, or let's say they're super sympathetic with the Palestinians, well, they've been killed, a lot of those Palestinians have, and they had, and all they know is a lot more Palestinians have been killed than Israelis. And I tell them what Arafat walked away from. And they, like, can't believe it. I said, oh, yeah, he walked away from a Palestinian state with a capital in East Jerusalem, 96% of the West Bank, 4% of Israel to make up for the 4% that the settlers occupy that were beyond the borders in the 67 war. And I go through all the stuff that was in the deal, and they like, it's not on their radar screen. They can't even imagine that that happened.
So Arafat didn't want to agree to a two-state solution. Neither does Hamas today, because their goal is to eliminate Israel altogether. Do you think Arafat's stubbornness was of God, so that there would not be a Palestinian state in Israel today? I think so. Anyway, last week, Trump comes along and in effect says, don't be stupid. We're not going to rebuild Gaza for the purpose of seeing this all happen again. It's time for these Palestinians to be relocated to Arab countries. I was recently listening to an interview with Michael Goodwin from the New York Post, and he shared that in Palestine, school children are raised to kill Jews and to be martyrs. Whenever a Hamas terrorist dies, they have the children put their hands on his body. They have children digging graves in the schoolyard and then lying down in those graves to get used to death and to prepare them to sacrifice their lives for Allah. What President Trump is proposing is not hatred for the Palestinians. It's love. We want to see them have a beautiful life and be free from the totalitarianism of radical Islam. And the likely chance of that happening is going to be by relocating them to other Arab states. Now, here's another point. The left is actually trying to depict Trump's plan as ethnic cleansing, when actually it's God who established boundaries, the boundaries of the nations, according to family line. The left would even accuse God of ethnic cleansing. But having nations and family boundaries is not ethnic cleansing, as globalists are now describing it. But notice, whatever the Bible says, the ungodly will come up with some sort of pejorative to discredit it. Now, what Trump has just done in regard to the Gaza Strip is kind of what I suspected that would happen during the Trump administration. More land, more empowerment for Israel. This is likely one of the main reasons that Trump is in office. And I believe, like Trump is saying, this is going to happen. Despite what everyone's saying, that it can't be done, that these countries are not going to let in these Palestinians, I expect that there's going to be a dramatic shift in the mood in the Middle East, and these doors will begin to open up. Just like in Trump's first term, the Abraham Accords, everyone said that there's no way that Saudi Arabia is going to make peace with Israel, but it happened. And not only this, when these doors open up for the Palestinians on the Gaza Strip, I suspect that many Palestinians are also going to be leaving the West Bank. Now, why do I say this? I'm not a prophet, nor the son of a prophet, but I'm simply following what the scriptures teach. And the prophecy is that there will be a second return of the Jews from the diaspora, and Israel will be rebuilt. Zechariah chapter 10, God says, I will whistle for them and gather them together. For I've redeemed them, and they will be as numerous as they were before. When I scattered them among the people, they will remember me in far countries, and they with their children will live and come back. And I will bring them back from the land of Egypt, and gather them from Assyria, and I will bring them into the land of Gilead and Lebanon until no room can be found for them, and they will pass through the sea of distress. And this is what we've seen happen in our generation. Before 1948, the Jews in Morocco were 250,000. Today, just 2,000. All of the Jews emigrated to Israel. In Algeria, there was 140,000 Jews, now only 50. In Tunisia, 105,000 Jews, now only 1,500. In Libya, there were 38,000 Jews, now zero. In Egypt, there was 75,000 Jews, now zero. In Yemen, there used to be 55,000 Jews. Now there may be at most 50. in Oman, 5,000 Jews, today zero. In Pakistan, there used to be 2,000 Jews, now zero. In Afghanistan, there used to be 5,000 Jews, now zero. In Iran, there used to be 150,000 Jews, maybe now there's about 5,000. In Iraq, there used to be 150,000, now zero. In Syria, there used to be 40,000 Jews, now zero. In Lebanon, there used to be 20,000 Jews, now zero. But those are just the Muslim countries. In Europe, the Jewish population has gone from 9.4 million to 2.7 million. They all left to go back to Israel. As in the prophecy, the Jews will return from Egypt and the lands of the Assyria. The only country where the Jewish population has increased is the United States, and that because of the birth rate. The establishment of National Israel in 1948 was a fulfillment of biblical prophecy, and it looks like Trump is an instrument of God to further that plan. And that's probably why the bullet providentially missed him. And we can say this because this is not something new. We saw this in the Old Testament Gentile king, Cyrus, who was also used of God in Israel's return from the first diaspora. Isaiah chapter 44, verse 28, "It is I who say of Cyrus, he is my shepherd, and he will perform all my desire. And he declares to Jerusalem, she will be built, and of the temple, your foundation will be laid." So it shouldn't surprise us that we see this again in someone like President Trump. Now, I know that there is a trend in intellectual evangelicalism that poo-poos these basic prophecies about Israel. It's as if there's a new generation of evangelical leaders who have arisen who now say we're too sophisticated for these crass prophecies. If we understand the historic apocalyptic Jewish genre and the nuances of Hebrew metaphors and imagery, if we, know that all of these prophecies about Israel are just hyperbole, and if we understand that Israel just needs to be interpreted spiritually and figuratively, and all you need is just a PhD from such and such a liberal seminary, and then you'll really know how to read your Bible. There's even a new generation of professing evangelicals who reject a future for national Israel and that Israel has a right to the land. We've seen this for decades in leftist mainline denominations, but now it's creeping into woke evangelicalism. Here's an article from Religious News Service, "Why Young Evangelicals Are Losing Their Faith in Israel." And I've addressed this in the past concerning how a wrong teaching about Israel being perfect has given the devil a foothold. Biblically, Israel's returning, but they're not returning as saints. They're returning as sinners, and they're going to be put into the pressure cooker. The same text in the Revelation that prophesizes Israel's return also calls Israel and Jerusalem spiritually Sodom and Egypt. Revelation chapter 11, verse 8, "And their dead bodies will lie in the street of the great city, which mystically is called Sodom and Egypt, where also their Lord was crucified." That's Jerusalem. And Tel Aviv is the Sodom and Gomorrah of the Middle East. Their pride parades are huge. Read Isaiah chapter 1 about Israel. Chapter 1, verse 10, "Hear the word of the Lord, you rulers of Sodom. Give ear to the instruction of our God, you people of Gomorrah." He's talking to national Israel. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 21, "How the faithful city has become a harlot. She who was full of justice, righteousness once lodged in her, but now murderers." But regardless of Israel's spiritual condition, that shouldn't distract us from the prophecy that God has a plan for national Israel, the physical descendants of the Jews. Christians are actually right to look to national Israel as a sign of Christ's soon return. Jesus told the disciples in the Olivet Discourse, Matthew 24, 32, "Now learn the parable from the fig tree. When its branch has already become tender and puts forth its leaves, you know that summer is near. So you too, when you see all of these things, recognize that he is near, right at the door. In the Old Testament, the fig tree was always a reference or a symbol of Israel. In fact, earlier in the week, Jesus cursed a fig tree, which clearly represented Israel having the appearance of religion, but no fruit. And then later in the week, Jesus says, look for the fig tree to blossom as a sign of my return. But you say, okay, maybe the fig tree putting forth fruit is simply a, you know, generic illustration that some event or summer is near. But then even the Apostle Paul speaks of God grafting in Israel again. Once the Gentiles become arrogant and the times of the Gentiles are complete. Paul even refers to a partial hardening happening to Israel. Romans chapter 11, verse 23, God is able to graft them in again. And verse 25, for I do not want you, brethren, to be uninformed of this mystery, so that you will not be wise in your own estimation, that a partial hardening has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. Seems as though God is going to, again, work with national Israel after he finishes working with the Gentiles. And if we still have doubts, there's also the prophecy in Revelation chapter 11, where John is told to measure the Jewish temple with a measuring rod. And wherever we see that in prophecy, it's always a reference to the real physical thing. And in the future, there are two prophets who will prophesy in Jerusalem. Earlier in Revelation chapter 7, we see that in this future prophecy, 144,000 Jews are sealed by God, saved by God. They're God's elect, 12,000 from each of the 12 tribes of Israel. And one cannot help but notice that at Pentecost, 5,000 Jews became believers in Christ and were saved. It's about 1% of the entire Jewish population in the first century. And 144,000 Jews, about 1% of the current world population Jews today. So the biblical prophecy about the future of national Israel, it's there. It's hard to deny without going through some acrobatic, unnatural interpretations of Scripture. At the very least, we should have more humility in regard to accepting what the Bible has to say on its face. Now, maybe what has soured some Christians to prophecy about Israel is what I call tabloid last time books. And I have a whole shelf of them. And I just pulled off a few of them earlier. Russia off the hook. Middle East wars, who will win? The Middle East beast. The second coming of Babylon. Mystery Babylon. Knowing the future, the Bible prophecy breakthrough, Israel Act 3, Israel and the Nations and Prophecy. Some of these books go way back to the 70s. The Nations and Prophecy, the Bible and Future Events, Armageddon, Oil, and the Middle East Crisis. This was a popular one. Also, the Late Great Planet Earth, Israel Prophecy, the Battle of Armageddon. And there are plenty of these tabloid prophecy books that really don't do any real exposition of Scripture. There's just a lot of speculation. Speculation such as Russia is going to come down from the north and invade the Middle East. There's going to be a huge war over oil. And when the Antichrist arrives, he's going to make some sort of treaty with Israel so that the temple can be rebuilt. But there is not a stitch of Scripture supporting any of those claims. These prophecy tabloid books or like supermarket tabloids or like YouTubes with clickbait. And it can really sour a Christian to end time prophecy, especially those who actually begin to know the prophecy. But just because some Christians go off half-cocked, and just because God has not chosen the wise, but the foolish and the weak in this world, let's not become sanctimonious, elitists. My experience is that God chooses the weak to confound the wise. And the common folk are usually the ones who get it right, not the intellectuals, in the big picture of things. But speaking of common folks, let's get back to Trump and his plan for Gaza. What I'm seeing is God's hand in all this. And I hope you're seeing this too. These events are just too strange to chalk up to coincidence. You know, even Elon Musk coming along, buying Twitter, and breaking the back of legacy media, exposing all of the corruption and the lies, creating a media platform that allowed conservatives to get their message out. And I don't think Trump would have won if it wasn't for Twitter. The left can only win if they control what the public is hearing. And think of all the other providence of God, that Trump's own grandchildren are Jewish. And Biden in office set up a situation in which Hamas would attack Israel. And that resulted in the complete destruction of Gaza and much of Hamas. So that the Palestinian exodus to other countries would be inevitable. The king of Syria, Assad, was overthrown by ISIS rebels who were Sunni Muslims, and they threw out of Syria the Shiite Hezbollah. Hezbollah has been attacking Israel with the help of the Shiite Muslims in Iran. And now the Sunni Muslims run Syria, and they have an alliance with Hamas and the Palestinians, and they may open the doors to them. The war in Ukraine led to many changes in the Middle East. Ukraine war kept Russia from continuing to help aid Assad. And so the Assad regime fell and he fled to Russia. And the war in Ukraine has kept Europe occupied. They have very little energy to pay attention to the Palestinian crisis. You know, as far as they're concerned, they just want the problem to go away. They've got enough problems of their own. In the press conference last week, Benjamin Netanyahu said that Trump is the greatest friend Israel has ever had in the White House. And if this is what he can accomplish in 2 weeks, imagine where we will be in 4 years. So let's watch and see how God providentially moves political leaders and nations to fulfill his prophetic plan. Let's watch and see how Egypt and Jordan, and maybe even Syria and Lebanon begin to take in these Palestinians. You know, that which everyone now says is impossible. The king of Jordan was in Washington last week, and he made it very clear that he's not taking in any of the Palestinians. And Egypt is so afraid that the Palestinians might migrate into Egypt that they have deployed the military to the border. But watch and see the hand of God move. Israel's going to get her land back. And this will work to the accomplishment and the salvation of God's people, to even save a remnant from the sons of Abraham at the end of this age. Isaiah chapter 46, which is all about God raising up Cyrus and the return of Israel from the diaspora. Verse 10, God says, declaring the end from the beginning. And from ancient times, things which have not been done, saying, my purposes will be established, and I will accomplish all of my good pleasure. Calling a bird of prey from the east, the man of my purpose from a far country. Truly I have spoken, truly I will bring it to pass. I have planned it, surely I will do it. Listen to me, you stubborn-minded, who are far from righteousness. I bring near my righteousness, it is not far off. And my salvation will not delay, and I will grant salvation in Zion and my glory for Israel. So thanks for listening. Subscribe, like, share, leave a comment below. It's a way you can communicate on YouTube. Stay in the Word. And if you want an assignment this week, read Isaiah chapter 44 through 46. And may Jesus Christ reign.